Hey folks, welcome to Thursday's edition of Lenderman Unleashed. I'll tell you what, we got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about the ocean here in the middle of the first half hour. And my main reasoning for this is a blog that has just recently come out, as well as some major signs saying that Fukushima has really got us Fukushima'd up. Primarily the oceans. We're also, if we get time, going to be talking about Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and, wow, the idiocy that comes out of that hospital will just blind you. And then in the last half hour, we've got Mark Blaxall, chairman of the Canary Party, the gentleman that was the topic of Tuesday's show, our interview with Jake Crosby, and he wanted to come on and rebut some of the things that were said. And to be honest with you, I was really happy that he came on. Those on the other side didn't think that he would. I'm real happy that he came on and feel better about the situation now that I was able to talk to both of them. And to be honest with you, I'm still kind of stuck in the middle. You might be as well. Once you hear the interview, stick around for the second half hour. Till then, we've got new news coming up. You're listening to Lenderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com.
Millions of people are suffering from constipation and hemorrhoids. Are you one of them? Hello, I'm Dr. Roger Sidaway, and as a gastroenterologist, I've been telling my patients for years that in order to keep things moving, you need to eat fiber, drink plenty of water, and exercise. Now I tell my patients to elevate their knees above their waist with the squatty potty footstool when they go. Here's why. Anatomically, humans were designed to squat, but then we started sitting, and sitting brought on problems like constipation and hemorrhoids. So the real problem is how we sit. That's why I recommend the squatty potty. The squatty potty is so simple because it helps you elevate your knees while enjoying the comfort of your own toilet. Plus, the squatty potty is for everyone, not only those with problems. I recommend it for the entire family. In fact, my family uses it. Take a step in caring for your health by finding out more at mysquattypotty.com. It just may change your life.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Hey, mister, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Lenderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Lenderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Lenderman.
That's right, folks. Welcome to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr., bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. Children's Hospital of Philadelphia becomes first in nation to disallow use of, you, what would you think, guns on campus, illegal drugs, smoking. Of course, I'm sure you're not allowed to smoke on the campus. Dietary supplements, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, those vitamins and minerals and nutrients and you know, what else is classified? You've got just all kinds of, you know, the minerals, the probiotics, those that sort of thing are considered dietary supplements. But the new hospital policy, as of this month, will improve patient safety, they say, and education. Now, why is it that... Now, keep in mind also, ladies and gentlemen, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia is where that whore, piece of crap, moronic, disgusting murderer of children operates from. And we're talking about Dr. Paul Offit. This is the man, and I use that term very loosely, that said that a child can handle 100,000 vaccines. And then when asked about his statement, elaborated to say 1 million vaccines. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, otherwise known as CHOPS. The Children's Hospital of Philadelphia announced today that its formulary, the list of medications approved for use, will no longer include most dietary supplements. The hospital said the action was being taken because the Food and Drug Administration does not routinely review the manufacturing of dietary supplements and therefore cannot guarantee their safety and effectiveness. In other words, we're slaves to the FDA. They tell us what we can and can't do, and they are the arbiters of truth and safety. Despite the fact that it was the FDA that gave us Vioxx. It was the FDA that is giving us statin drugs. It is the FDA that has given us vaccines that cause how many complications and murders healthy children? But because the FDA doesn't look at dietary supplements closely enough, this hospital has decided they're not going to allow, oh, vitamin C, garlic. You know, Sarah Erush, who's the PharmD BCPS pharmaceutical clinical manager and a member of the hospital's therapeutic standards committee, okay, said because vitamins and dietary supplements are essentially unregulated, there is no sound information about adverse side effects, drug interactions, or even standard dosing for the vast majority of them. Administering these medications, particularly to children with serious health complications, is unethical when the risks are unknown and when there are alternative treatments that have been proven in clinical trials to be safe and effective. In other words, when there are drugs that we can use, poisonous materials, toxic materials to use, why would we want to give them something that's beneficial to them? Unethical. How about unethical is you are probably the one out there pushing the fact that somebody that's going through chemotherapy should definitely have a pneumococcal and flu vaccine because they're trying to say their immune systems will be down. So let's give them more toxins. These hospitals, especially this one, when all the crap goes down, ladies and gentlemen, these are the ones that should be burned to the ground because they're worshiping, they're a church of Satan. These hospitals like CHOPS is literally an altar to Satan, murdering children, putting them on the sacrificial altar of pharma. It's Satan. Simple as that, folks. Now, I'm not going to push on this. I'm not going to continue further with this because you can understand right away when you've got a hospital that's saying we're not going to allow dietary supplements any longer. You can go ahead and read the article all you want. How despicable and disgusting is that? Nothing more really needs to be said but stay the hell away from that hospital. Now, I do want to get into this, and I've got two articles to get through before we get to the second half hour and our interview with Mark Blaxell. Newcastle Herald is the website. Thursday, October 24th, 2013 is the date. The ocean is broken. It was a silence that made this voyage different from all of those before it. Not the absence of sound, exactly. The wind still whipped the sails and whistled in the rigging. The waves still sloshed against the fiberglass hull. And there were plenty of other noises, muffled thuds and bumps and scrapes as the boat knocked against pieces of debris. What was missing was the cries of the seabirds, which, on all previous similar voyages, had surrounded the boat. The birds were missing because the fish were missing. Exactly 10 years before, when Newcastle yachtsman Ivan McFadden had sailed exactly the same course from Melbourne to Osaka, all he'd had to do to catch a fish from the ocean between Brisbane and Japan was throw out a baited line. There was not one of the 28 days on that portion of the trip when we didn't catch a good-sized fish to cook up and eat with some rice, McFadden recalled. But this time, on the whole leg of the journey, the total catch was 2. Now, here's the deal. In that leg of the trip, what they're thinking is a lot of it had to do with overfishing. They were watching these trawlers just going by with their nets right along the coral reef and catching everything just because they wanted a certain type of fish, and everything else they just killed. They killed. It was junk fish. They didn't need it. They threw it overboard. There was nothing. They weren't trying to save anything, to salvage any fish, to throw them back. They would kill them. They only wanted one kind of fish, and that was all there was to it. But the worst part of it is when it got worse on the next leg of the long voyage, which was from Osaka, Japan, to San Francisco. And they said that the desolation was tinged with nauseous horror and a degree of fear. After we left Japan, it felt as if the ocean itself was dead, McFadden said. We hardly saw any living things. We saw one whale sort of rolling helplessly on the surface with what looked like a big tumor on its head. It was pretty sickening. I've done a lot of miles on the ocean in my life, and I'm used to seeing turtles, dolphins, sharks, and big flurries of feeding birds. But this time, for 3,000 nautical miles, there was nothing alive to be seen. In place of the missing life was garbage in astonishing volumes. Now, that was because of the tsunami, obviously, washing everything off the shores of Japan into the ocean to float over to America. But the tumor on the whales, the missing fish, that has to do a lot with not just the toxic materials that ended up in the ocean from, say, the oil and the gasoline and everything else that was in all of these vehicles and the gas stations and everything else that were all along the coastline. But, of course, we're talking Fukushima here. Now, that's where most of the damage is coming from, I believe. In a lot of places, when the wind wouldn't work or it was, you know, working that poorly for them, normally they would have a motor on board that they could continue on motoring. They couldn't even do that because they couldn't afford to fire up their motor at night, especially because they couldn't see. And during the day, they wouldn't fire up the motor unless you had one guy on the bow paying close attention to what was going on, and one guy running the motor, because they were concerned because there was wires and literally in the middle of the ocean, telephone poles, electrical poles with miles of wires strung behind them. So we've got a massive dump out there. Now, granted, that's an act of God. That was a tsunami. That is an act of God, but we've actually got, and at the end of this article, they talk about the fact that this guy wants to get people together to get out there and clean this up. And we have these piece of crap, these horrific people who are, you know, the greenies out there who are saying the amount of boats that it would take and the amount of fuel that it would take to run those boats to clean up that part of the ocean there, the Pacific Ocean there, would be more damaging to the environment than leaving all of that frickin' trash in the ocean. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. This is just despicable. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the 28 signs that the West Coast is being absolutely fried with nuclear radiation from Fukushima. Yeah, get ready, California. If you ain't already, it's too late. We'll be right back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com.
Hi, it's Maria from Vox Organics. Are you concerned about GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and toxic additives in the foods placed on your family's table each day? How would you like to serve your family healthy, nutrient-dense, affordable, organic foods? If you're like me, I hate it when I have to go to three or four stores just to get the kind of organic food I need for a family meal. And I really hate spending a whole paycheck on organic too. Well, now the answer to all of these issues is just a mouse click away. Vox Organics is an e-commerce site that sells organic and all-natural foods delivered to your door. What could be simpler? Whether it's meats, breads, dairy, or fresh fruits and veggies, Vox Organics is the answer. There are no minimum orders, no group fees, no boxes mixed with items you don't want. Just great quality food at a fair price. So check us out at VoxOrganics.com. That's VoxOrganics with an X.com.
The health benefits of kombucha have been known for centuries. Kombucha promotes detoxification and immune system health as well as boosting your energy levels. June is less known, in fact, very secretive, but equally important to great health. Kombucha and June teas aren't just tasty and good for you. They're actually considered to be a therapy for optimal health. These tea-based drinks can cost anywhere from $4 to $15 per bottle, and companies can't seem to keep them in stock. Kim's Kombucha and June Supply Company has just launched with the sole intention of making these incredible drinks available to you and your family. Why buy expensive bottles when you can brew these teas at home for a fraction of the cost? Kim's Kombucha and June Supply Company sells complete continuous brew systems as well as resupplies of Kim's exclusive blend of free trade organic teas, honey, and sugar. Order your continuous brew system today and start feeling better tomorrow. Visit kimskombucha.com today. Kim's Kombucha and June systems are sold exclusively through VoxOrganics.com. Hey, Doc, why don't you listen to Linderman Unleashed?
You can't handle the truth!
All right, folks, thanks for staying with us. From thetruthwins.com, 28 signs that the West Coast is being absolutely fried with nuclear radiation from Fukushima. The map above comes from the Nuclear Emergency Tracking Center. You can check out the map above this article as well as every other article that I've talked about today by going to LindermanUnleashed.com. Every day, not only do I place the show, what's going on with the show, what we're talking about today, but I also put the links to everything that I'm talking about. You can also check out the Linderman Unleashed Facebook page if you so desire. As I said, this map comes from the Nuclear Emergency Tracking Center. It shows that radiation levels at radiation monitoring stations all over the country are elevated. As you will notice, this is particularly true along the west coast of the United States. Every single day, 300 tons, and we've talked about this recently on the program, of radioactive water from Fukushima enters the Pacific Ocean. That means that the total amount of radioactive material released from Fukushima is constantly increasing, and it is steadily building up in our food chain. Ultimately, all of this nuclear radiation will outlive all of us by a very wide margin. They are saying that it could take up to 40 years just to clean up the Fukushima disaster. And meanwhile, countless innocent people will develop cancer and other health problems as a result of exposure to high levels of nuclear radiation. We are talking about a nuclear disaster that is absolutely unprecedented, and it is constantly getting worse. The following are 28 signs that the west coast of North America is absolutely fried with nuclear radiation from Fukushima. Number one, polar bears, seals, and walruses along the Alaska coastline are suffering from fur loss and open sores. Wildlife experts are studying whether fur loss and open sores detected in 9 polar bears in recent weeks is widespread and related to similar incidents among seals and walruses. The bears were among 33 spotted near Barrow, Alaska, during routine survey work along the Arctic coastline. Tests showed they are alopecia, or loss of fur and other skin lesions, the U.S. Geological Survey said in a statement. There is an epidemic, number two, there is an epidemic of sea lion deaths along the California coastline. At island rookeries off the southern California coast, 45% of the pups born in June have died, said Sharon Mellon, a wildlife biologist for the National Marine Fisheries Service based in Seattle. Normally, less than one-third of the pups would die. It's gotten so bad in the past 2 weeks that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration declared an unusual mortality event. Number three, along the Pacific coast of Canada and the Alaska coastline, the population of sockeye salmon is at a historic low. Many are blaming Fukushima. Number four, something is causing fish all along the west coast of Canada to bleed from their gills, bellies, and eyeballs. Number five, a vast field of radioactive debris from Fukushima that is approximately the size of California has crossed the Pacific Ocean and is starting to collide with the west coast. Radioactive debris, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we were talking about not too long ago with the first story on the show today. Number six, it is being projected that the radioactivity of coastal waters off the U.S. west coast could double over the next 5 to 6 years. Number seven, experts have found very high levels of cesium-137 in plankton living in the waters of the Pacific Ocean between Hawaii and the west coast. That is radioactive waste, ladies and gentlemen. One test in California found that 15 out of 15 bluefin tuna were contaminated with radiation from Fukushima. Number nine, back in 2012, the Vancouver Sun reported that cesium-137 was being found in a very high percentage of the fish that Japan was selling to Canada. 73% of the mackerel tested, 91% of the halibut, 92% of the sardines, 93% of the tuna and eel, 94% of the cod and anchovies, and 100% of the carp, seaweed, shark, and monkfish had radioactive poisoning. A very high percentage of them. Number 10, Canadian authorities are finding extremely high levels of nuclear radiation in certain fish samples. Some fish samples tested to date have had very high levels of radiation. One sea bass sample collected in July, for example, had 1,000 becquerels per kilogram of cesium. Number 11, some experts believe that we could see very high levels of cancer along the West Coast just from people eating contaminated fish. Look at what's going on now. They're dumping huge amounts of radioactivity into the ocean. No one expected that in 2011. Daniel Hirsch, a nuclear policy lecturer at the University of California, Santa Cruz, told Global Security Newswire, we could have large numbers of cancer from ingestion of fish. Number 12, BBC News recently reported that radiation levels around Fukushima are 18 times higher than previously believed. Number 13, an EU-funded study concluded that Fukushima released up to 210 quadrillion becquerels of cesium-137 into the atmosphere. Number 14, atmospheric radiation from Fukushima reached the west coast of the United States within a few days back in 2011. At this point, 300 tons of contaminated water is pouring into the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima every day. Number 15, a senior researcher of marine chemistry at the Japan Meteorological Agency's Meteorological Research Institute says that 30 billion becquerels of radioactive cesium and 30 billion becquerels of radioactive strontium are being released into the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima. We've got a lot of stuff going on here, folks, and nobody seems to be worrying about it. Do you hear? You know, this is affecting America. Do you hear Obama worrying about it? Do you hear Obama saying, you know what, maybe we should put a stop to this crap about healthcare right now? Because it's not going to matter if we have healthcare, because we're not going to be able to treat all the cancer if we don't fix this. We'll go to war with Syria over a chemical attack that killed 100 people that was false anyways. But this could be a planet-ending or at least a planet-altering task, but because it doesn't include killing innocent people and taking over oil-rich lands, we don't want anything to do with it. Every country on this planet should be converging on the Fukushima plant and fixing this. I don't understand it. I honestly don't, ladies and gentlemen. According to TEPCO, which is the company that runs Fukushima, a total of somewhere between 20 trillion and 40 trillion becquerels of radioactive tritium have gone into the Pacific Ocean since the Fukushima disaster first began. According to a professor at Tokyo University, 3 gigabecquerels of cesium-137 are flowing into the port at Fukushima Daiichi every single day. It has been estimated, number 19, that up to 100 times as much nuclear radiation has been released into the ocean from Fukushima than was released during the entire Chernobyl disaster. One recent study, number 20, concluded that a very large plume of cesium-137 from the Fukushima disaster will start flowing into U.S. coastal waters early next year. Number 21, it is being projected that significant levels of cesium-137 will reach every corner of the Pacific Ocean by the year 2020. Number 22, it has been projected that the entire Pacific Ocean will soon have cesium levels 5 to 10 times higher than what we witnessed during the era of heavy atomic bomb testing in the Pacific many decades ago. Number 23, the immense amounts of nuclear radiation getting into the water in the Pacific Ocean has caused environmental activist Joe Martino to issue the following warning: your days of eating Pacific Ocean fish are over. Number 24, the iodine-131, cesium-137, and strontium-90 that are constantly coming from Fukushima are going to affect the health of those living in the northern hemisphere for a very, very long time. Just consider what Harvey Wasserman had to say about this. Iodine-131, for example, can be ingested into the thyroid where it emits beta particles or electrons that damage tissue. A plague of damaged thyroids has already been reported among as many as 40% of the children in the Fukushima area. That percentage can only go higher. In developing youngsters, it can stunt both physical and mental growth. Among adults, it causes a wide range of ancillary ailments, including cancer. Now, cesium-137 from Fukushima has been found in fish caught as far away as California. It spreads throughout the body, but tends to accumulate in the muscles. Strontium-90's half-life is around 29 years. It mimics calcium and goes to your bones. Number 25, according to a recent Planet InfoWars report, the California coastline is being transformed into a dead zone. Number 26, a study conducted last year came to the conclusion that radiation from the Fukushima nuclear disaster could negatively affect human life along the west coast of North America from Mexico to Alaska for decades. Number 27, according to the Wall Street Journal, it has been projected that the cleanup of Fukushima could take up to 40 years to complete. And number 28, and that's if we got off our asses, folks. And number 28, Yale professor Charles Perrow is warning that if the cleanup of Fukushima is not handled with 100% precision, that humanity could be threatened for thousands of years. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. What in the heck are we doing? What are we doing? I just don't get it. I don't know. I honestly don't know what to say. We've got it. There's some kind of team over there that's we reported on it, that they're going to get in there and it could make or break one mistake and it could blow or whatever. You know, ladies and gentlemen, why in the hell are we talking about healthcare? Why in the hell were we just talking about going to war with Syria? Why in the hell are we talking about Iran? This could be one of those moments. One of those moments that are right out of the movies, like I picture Independence Day, where finally, because of the aliens, we have all come together as a world because we realize this is our mortality. I picture, what's the other one? What's the other movie? There's an alien movie, and then the world gets together in Outbreak or whatever it was, because it was a nasty virus. The world will get together in War of the Worlds because the aliens came and we're all fighting the same thing. The world gets together when there's an asteroid coming to the planet, and Bruce Willis has to go up and blow it up, and the whole world's watching, and they're all, you know, Jew and Muslim are holding hands, watching TV, watching the world being saved, or preparing for the world to be destroyed, or Jews and Muslims and Hindus are all fighting the same war against the aliens. This is real, folks. This isn't Hollywood. This is very real. I just don't get it. I honestly don't get it. But I'll tell you what, folks, we're going to get it if we don't get off our asses. And this is one of those things that we should be talking to our congressman about, that we should be calling and saying, what the heck are you doing? This is happening over in Japan. I understand that. But this ain't just their problem. All right, folks, when we get back from the break, we're going to have this interview with Mark Blaxall, chairman of the Canary Party, subject of the primary subject of the last interview we did on Tuesday, regarding some of his conceived conflicts of interest and what he's doing regarding vaccines, being the spokesperson and many times the one that has the ears of members of Congress, and what's going on with that. And he called me. He wanted to talk to me. After hearing the show, he wanted to have his say. I promised everybody that I would give him a say. And to be quite honest with you, I'm happy with what I heard. So stick around for that, and we're going to be right back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com.
Millions of people are suffering from constipation and hemorrhoids. Are you one of them? Hello, I'm Dr. Roger Sidaway, and as a gastroenterologist, I've been telling my patients for years that in order to keep things moving, you need to eat fiber, drink plenty of water, and exercise. Now I tell my patients to elevate their knees above their waist with the Squatty Potty footstool when they go. Here's why. Anatomically, humans were designed to squat, but then we started sitting, and sitting brought on problems like constipation and hemorrhoids. So the real problem is how we sit. That's why I recommend the Squatty Potty. The Squatty Potty is so simple because it helps you elevate your knees while enjoying the comfort of your own toilet. Plus, the Squatty Potty is for everyone, not only those with problems. I recommend it for the entire family. In fact, my family uses it. Take a step in caring for your health by finding out more at mysquattypotty.com. It just may change your life.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancer using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
And now back to my daddy, Kurt Linderman.
The mob has plans. The cops have plans. They're schemers. Schemers trying to control their little world. I'm not a schemer. I try to show the schemers how pathetic their attempts to control things really are.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Yeah, you got that right.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Linderman Unleashed. Once again, as promised, I've got Mark Blaxel on the line with the Canary Party. This is, I guess you could call it the second part to the interview that we did on Tuesday with Jake Crosby. And Mark Blaxel would like to do a bit of a rebuttal, a bit of clearing of the air. And I told Jake Crosby and my listening audience that I was going to allow that to happen, were that to be the case. So, Mark, welcome to Linderman Unleashed, man.
Hey, Kurt, thanks for having me on again.
Well, you know, I think it's imperative that you come on. There's been a lot of talk lately. A lot of people are saying, you know, hey, we've got this conflict of interest. We've got this guy, Mark Blaxel, who has sabotaged some things. And, you know, even on the show on Tuesday, I said, hey, you know, Mark Blaxel, I consider him a friend of mine, but your articles, your evidence is pretty compelling, but I want to hear your side of the story. I want my listeners to hear your side of the story. So let's get right to it, because we only have the last half hour of the program regarding the apparent conflict of interest with your company and the fact that your company has partners that have pharmaceutical clients. Let's get to that right off the bat.
Well, Kurt, I have my own business now, and I've had my own business for many years. Back in the day, back when my daughter was diagnosed, and for 25 years, it was my first job out of college. I worked for a company called the Boston Consulting Group. It used to be a smallish consulting firm, and then it was very successful, and it grew. And as it grew, it didn't. And I always worked with industrial companies, automotive, forest products, computers type companies. But they also had pharmaceutical clients. And as I got into the the issue of autism with my daughter, I learned a lot. She was diagnosed in 1998. By 2000, 2001, I was on to the thimerosal issue. Within years, months from that, I was working hard on, and I believed that thimerosal was toxic and causing injury to kids and had injured my kid. I wrote about it. I published things about it. I was vocal about it. I didn't hide anything. And one thing I was worried about, to be honest, was that, because I was a partner of the firm, I'm responsible to my partners to not trash their clients in public. So I was concerned about clients that I criticized, or companies that I would criticize publicly by name. I did criticize Eli Lilly because they made thimerosal, but I was, one of the things I liked about the thimerosal argument is it didn't go after the vaccine business in general. But over time, as I learned more, my views changed. But in any event, a lot of the good work I did, I was at Safe Minds at the time, was published in David Kirby's book, Evidence of Harm. If anybody doubts the quality of the work that I did and the fact that it was hard-hitting, go read it. Go read what I wrote about the VSD study and how the CDC cheated with numbers. There's nobody that worked harder on that issue than me. And then in 2006, early in 2006, not very long after Evidence of Harm came out, all of a sudden I found myself without a job, and I was no longer at the Boston Consulting Group, and I no longer have a conflict of any kind. I don't have partners that I have to worry about. I have a new business that there are three of us who run it, and we don't have pharmaceutical companies as clients. So I don't have a conflict of interest. I haven't had a conflict of interest for years. I did have issues that concerned me, and it actually didn't stop me from speaking out, Kurt. But it did worry me a little bit. And who knows? Maybe my worries were were founded because I'm not working there anymore, and that was not my choice.
Right. Okay. So that being said, I'm just being fair with everybody. I could say that maybe in a way you're being misrepresented, because what I'm getting, and I haven't, and like I said at the on the Jake Crosby interview, I have not been able to keep up on this because with all the political crap going on, autism has taken kind of a second place recently over the past recent months on Linderman Unleashed. But to me, it would seem as if I got the impression that you were still with this company and that you still had this conflict of interest. And that is not the case since 2006.
Kurt, I don't have a conflict of interest of any kind now, and I have not had one for years. I hadn't had a conflict since I started The Age of Autism with J.B. Handley and Dan Olmsted and Kim Stagliano back in 2007. I haven't had a conflict since I wrote the book, The Age of Autism. I haven't had a conflict since starting the Canary Party. The only time I had a conflict was when I was helping David Kirby and contributing to the Evidence of Harm book. And it's even in the book, Kurt. You know, I have never hid the conflict. I've actually, you know, been public with people and open with people about the concerns I've had. So it's not as though there's any great secret that I was keeping. And whatever concern I had, it is not operative any longer. I am my own man and have been. And even, you know, and I spoke out even when I had partners that I, you know, I was taking risks with, and that didn't stop me then. You know, and honestly, Kurt, you know, the attacks on my personal integrity and character, I object to. I have an injured child, and I'm fighting just as hard for her as anyone else is, and people that suggest that I am doing anything less than the right thing and chasing the truth and fighting hard for our kids, you know, that's just wrong. And I don't think there's anyone in this community that's worked harder and longer than I have on these issues. So I do take offense to the attacks on my character.
Well, and that's why I wanted to have you on. I don't think it's fair to just have one side of the argument when two people within the autism community are having these battles. And, you know,
I'm not having a battle with anybody.
Right.
I don't have anything negative to say. I don't believe that we should spend or waste our time fighting each other. You know, there are people that dislike me, and there have always been people that dislike me, man. And that's their right. There are people that want to do things in different ways. That's their right. Go to it. Go fight them. You know, the issue is, Kurt, you know, if we waste our time fighting each other, you know, all we're going to do is hold back progress because pharma has more money than we do. HHS has more power than we do. There's a whole bunch of things that make it tough to fight the battles we need to fight. And it's a total waste of time and energy, and it's counterproductive to fight each other. So I don't want to say anything bad about anyone. All I want to say is I'm fighting the good fight, and I object to the facts of my character, but I'm not going to fight with anybody else. Friendly fire is a waste of time.
Right. I hear you completely, and I respect the hell out of that. Let's get to where we're going then, regarding the 2000 or the last November's hearing. It's come to our attention here at Linderman Unleashed, and of course through Jay Crosby and others, that the Canary Party and you in particular were able to sabotage that and create the hearing that it was. And this is, I'm simply telling you exactly what I am hearing, that the Canary Party got involved and changed up everything that was involved with that. It was supposed to be a hearing about the malfeasance of the CDC, and it turned into a, hey, look how great autism is in the adult community. Aren't we just funny and wonderful? As opposed to, hey, vaccines are doing this. Stop the crap. What's your answer?
Last November's hearing?
Yes.
Well, that's a flat-out lie, Kurt. That's just wrong. And I'm not sure how people put that lie together. And but it is, you know, as a statement of fact, it's a lie. My involvement with the hearing was late. There were a lot of people who were involved in the hearing doing good work and getting it set up. Dr. Gary, Brian Hooker, Rolf Hazelhurst, Luke Conte, you know, the folks. stories in my written testimony. I talked about the CDC committing the medical equivalent of securities fraud. I don't think I pulled many punches. What a lot of us were trying to do in that hearing was to make sure that we had another one, that it wasn't just an episode because Congress was adjourning and Burton was retiring. And I think, you know, and unfortunately, we had a lot of the neurodiverse crowd and we had a lot of noise. You know, we had, you know, Autism Speaks and ASA. It wasn't a good panel, and that was too bad. But that wasn't any, that wasn't, you know, the Canary Party. The Canary Party wasn't even involved. I was representing Safe Minds at the time. I'm no longer on the board of Safe Minds, but you know, I was, you know, standing in for Safe Minds. And, you know, nobody from Safe Minds, nobody from anywhere was telling, you know, the OGR staff who was going to be on the panel. They made their own decisions, and I wish they had made different decisions, but nobody had any power over that. I was happy to speak, and a lot of people thought I did a great job. Some people thought I didn't, you know, I didn't say the right things, and that's their right. But, you know, I did what I thought was right, and I did the best job I could. But I sure as heck didn't tell, you know, the committee staffers, you know, who was going to be involved and who wasn't going to be involved. That, you know, I'm hoping, you know, and the one thing I would say, Brian, Kurt, is that, you know, we're going to get another hearing. The objective last time was not to make it an episode, and we've succeeded in that. And the good news is that, you know, Darrell Issa has committed to do a new hearing, and he's going to do it on malfeasance in the vaccine injury compensation program. And that's a really important topic that a lot of people care passionately about. And we hope they have more hearings. You know, we're crossing our fingers that they will. But the suggestion that there was somehow this great conspiracy, you know, that I was in the middle of, to, you know, that, and we missed this historic opportunity to, you know, to turn the ship around, and it's just ludicrous, Kurt, and it's wrong. But it is what it is, and people can see the, you know, the tape if they want, and I stand by what I said. I'm proud of what I said, and a lot of people, I got more positive feedback, you know, in the days following that hearing than any other single thing I've ever done, you know, as an autism advocate, so I felt good about it.
Yeah, you know, and that's true, and I'll tell you, we talked about it on the air directly after that, and I was really thrilled when I first saw the hearing. I mean, I was disgusted because of all the... You know, the crap with the neurodiverse community there. I'm sorry, but they just pissed me off. But the what you said there, I was absolutely thrilled to hear. And I was one of your biggest fans that day, to be honest with you. I think a lot of this is able to come out because of the level of frustration that we autism parents have. And I say we because you're one of them. So, you know, that's where... I consider you my friend because we both have the same issues. We have children affected, and both of us believe that vaccines played an important role in that. But that being said, the level of frustration out here is what in the hell is being accomplished? Every 20 minutes, another child, in fact, I think it's even greater than that, another child is being injured and affected. What in the hell are we doing? Why aren't we getting more, I don't know, do you want to use the word militant? Why aren't we getting more action?
Well, you know, I get up every day, Kurt, and I do two things. I try to make a living so I can support my daughter when I'm gone and leave something behind for her and make some money. And then I think about how I can fight the fight. And right now, the thing I've been working hardest on, and I've been working hard with a lot of people, there are a lot of great people out there working hard on the political side, and we're, you know, we're hopeful that the Oversight and Government Reform Committee will, you know, will keep the, you know, HHS's people, the staffers' feet to the fire. But I get up every day and I'm working on making change the best way I know how. To be honest, you know, we're fighting with top guns, man. You know, and the other side has tanks. And I wish, you know, we had better ammo. I wish I had better ammo. I wish we had a bigger army. But, you know, you go to a war with the army that you've got, not the one that you wish for. And the fact is, we're not making enough change. And I don't know what to do about it, to be honest, other than to keep fighting. And to keep fighting in the people in the Canary Party that I'm working with, people that are getting politically active. One thing I conclude is one reason I left SafeMind, you know, which is more focused on the science and the research. I was working on the research for a long time. I wrote papers. I published papers. I was a peer reviewer in some papers. And then I realized, it became clear that the scientific community, in some respects, or the scientific establishment, had kind of circled the wagons around an orthodoxy that wasn't going to change. And it made me realize that the issues are political more than anything. And so I decided to get political. And that's what we're doing in the Canary Party. And I think we're making some headway. We're hopeful that we've got a hearing on the vaccine injury compensation program that's coming up in December that will be hard hitting and shine a light on some of the malfeasance that's gone on inside of HHS. Crossing our fingers on that. You never know until it happens. But Congressman Issa has been very supportive. He's had the vision to say, I want to have a hearing on vaccine court. And so that's what we're going to do.
Well, and I guess my main thing is when I look at the autism community, and there is the cliques and the infighting is something to be seen. I guess you would have that with any major group or organization, though. But and I look at the AIDS groups back in the 80s. And they got mean and they got nasty and politicians had no choice but to pay attention to them. And I think we need that level here in the autism community. I honestly do, because this playing politics is really getting us nowhere. Now, I'm not saying nowhere because, I mean, I'm sure you've got stuff in the works that many of us aren't able to be privy to, but it's just so slow moving. Are there any organizations out there that are looking at doing more than, asking for a seat at the table?
Well, Kurt, there's a lot of things in there. And, the one thing I always want to stress, or the model I want to follow personally is that I want to be professional. I want to be nonviolent. That almost doesn't need to be said, but sometimes, when you talk about militancy, that question can come up. I do want to find ways that we can protest. Some of us went to an IAC meeting, last year, and we wore yellow T-shirts and turned our backs on Kathleen Sebelius in a symbolic protest. She was speaking at IAC, and we said, Kathleen Sebelius has turned her back on the autism epidemic.
Yeah, that was awesome, by the way.
Well, that was the Canary Party, Kurt, and we did that, and I was there, and I turned my back on her. Now, that was silent, civil disobedient, respectful protest. We've got to find ways to do that. If we can get Congress to hold a hearing and expose some of the wrongdoing, well, maybe, I think that's worth a try, and I'm going to try it. And a lot of us are working with members of Congress, and we think, it is slow. It's frustratingly slow, but it's better than working with the executive branch. And I think there's some members in Congress who get it. So we're going to try that. If others have better ideas for how they mobilize and orchestrate civil disobedience or whatever form of protest they want, man, I'm all ears. But, right now I think we've got, members of Congress are hearing from our community, Kurt. They're hearing from us every day. People should keep calling up your congressmen. Tell them what's going on. Tell them about your kids. We need to mobilize. And honestly, it's hard to get our community to mobilize. Can you get more than five people in a single organization to do anything in autism? And what we're trying to do with Canary, we're trying to get people to call up their congressmen, call the people on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, tell them that they should pay attention. We want Democrats and Republicans. We want people, libertarians and Tea Party and Green Party. We want everybody we can find to get mobilized on this issue. But it's tough to get our community to pay attention. It's like herding cats a lot of the time. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. And that doesn't mean that, that there are other forms of protest that wouldn't be good. If you've got some good ideas, Kurt, I'm all ears. We should try them.
Yeah, they all require bail money, though.
Yeah, well, you know, civil disobedience is, you know, sometimes, I think we need civil disobedience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I'm not talking violent. Absolutely not. I would not go there. I mean, I'm pissed because my kid was hurt. I'm not going to hurt anybody in, you know, to fight the fact that my child was hurt. But I think more militancy is needed. Nonviolent protests, let's say. But mean protests. Mean in the way where people have no choice but to start paying attention to it. We've only got a couple more minutes left. We've addressed the two major issues. Is there any other issue that was brought up or that has been brought up in the past that you're just saying, hey, this needs to be addressed, Mark?
Is an important, you know, political opportunity for us. We have to broaden our footprint. Autism is the canary in the coal mine, but it's a bigger coal mine, and it's a bigger iceberg over the tip of the iceberg, to mix the metaphors. And you know, I think we need to get political. I think we need to mobilize. I think we need to fight the enemy. The enemy is not us. It's not. It's out there. I think we need to love each other. You know, I think we need to love our fellow parents even when we disagree. I think we need to love our kids. I think we need to love our kids whether they're, you know, low functioning or high functioning. And when they're high functioning and they're not functioning the way we'd hope they would, you know, we love them anyway. And so, I mean, that's the only thing I want to say, Kurt. I don't have, I'm a dad. I'm making a living. I'm open about, you know, what I'm doing. The Canary Party and colleagues and friends around the country are working hard. We're trying to get Congress to do some things. It's slow. I'm as frustrated as anyone. But I'm working hard, and I have, you know, I'm not apologetic about anything I've done. I do my best every day. And if anybody doubts it, you know, go back and read, you know, go back and read what I've read. You know, I've got, you know, things I've read, read what I've written. You know, I've written stuff for years, and my life's been an open book, and my work is an open book. And, you know, I'm proud of it. I'm frustrated, and I get up and think about how I'm going to fight every day. And on my grave, I'm going to go to my grave, Kurt, you know, fighting these issues, because it's never over, and this is an injustice that has changed all our lives forever. And if we don't go to our graves fighting, shame on us.
Absolutely. Well said. And Mark, the other thing I could say is the one thing with regards to these the vaccine injury and the community itself, I've never met a better group of people, whether I happen to agree with them or not. We're all in this, hopefully, for the same reason. And I appreciate you being on the show today and discussing the issue with me. All right, my friend. To stay on the line, we'll talk real quick as soon as I sign off. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you being on or listening to the program today. Don't forget tomorrow, Food Fight Friday. Until then, don't forget, here at Linderman Unleashed, the gloves are always off. Y'all have a great one.